Welcome back to another episode of The Art of Healing. I'm your host and therapist friend, Trevor Hansen. And on today's episode, we are talking about betrayal in your relationships. And it's a topic that hopefully you never have to visit. And if you have visited this topic through your own experiences, you've been betrayed, I'm so grateful that you're here. Because today I'm talking with somebody who's been through the fire of betrayal, on the injured side or the one who's being betrayed, and also a person who's made it through that fire, found healing, and now helps people all over the world to find healing in the aftermath of betrayal. And this is Ashlyn Mitchell. And you may know Ashlyn as she's spoken openly about the betrayal that has happened within her relationship. She hosted a podcast with her husband, The Betrayed, The Addict, and The Expert, where they talk about the elements of healing relationships and recovery from either sexual addiction or betrayal trauma. Ashlyn produces a lot of phenomenal content and resources primarily for women who have gone through betrayal and betrayal trauma. And today's episode, though we may focus in one direction or another as far as gender goes, because statistically speaking, it's mostly women who are on the betrayed side of the relationship, but that's not always true. So if you are a man listening today, this is still absolutely applicable for you. The same principles 100% apply. If you're interested in learning more about Ashlyn, I'm going to include her Instagram and her website links in the description of the episode or in the show notes below. And if you're interested in reaching out to me and finding out more about my therapy services, or you would like to get on the pre-course registry for my new course, Connected Couples, which will be launching, in a few months, please go to the link tree, which again is in the description of this podcast in the show notes. You can find it there. You can also find things like a free worksheet for couples helping you to dissect what we call a negative cycle, because couples, they will oftentimes just see the behavior that's on the surface, things that the other one's doing, and then the other one responds in a certain way. But that response back and forth, which causes disconnection, is rooted in deeper meaning. And there's a lot more understanding to that cycle that couples need in order to exit that cycle. So I have a free worksheet for that. But also in this course that I'm kind of building a pre-registry for, by the way, if you pre-register, you get a early access to the course and also a discount as just a thank you for following the podcast, listening to the podcast, and being here, working on your own healing. But in that course, we dissect your own understanding of yourself, kind of starting to understand, how do I respond to my partner in maybe similar ways that I responded to my parents? Or am I trying to cope from an originally formulated, what we call maybe attachment style? And I feel like attachment style is almost too simple, but a deep understanding of why you do the things you do and how you love. And then we take all of that information within the course and we help you to use it to exit your negative cycle. Understanding communication skills, scripts for asking for what you need or approaching difficult conversations. So if that sounds interesting to you and you want early access, you want a discount, please go to that link tree, find the pre-course registry, put your name and email there. I'll send you an email the day that it launches with your early access discount. Today, I'm incredibly thrilled to introduce you to Ashlyn Mitchell. So let's jump into the podcast, and thank you for listening to The Art of Healing. Well, thanks for joining me on the podcast. This is exciting.
Yeah, you bet. I'm happy to have connected with you.
Yeah, really, really fun. And it's kind of cool that we both live here in Utah. Home yes. state. That's exciting. So I had heard about your other podcast previously, and we were chatting just before we started recording about that. And there's some fantastic information and some great resources that you have provided through that podcast and through your channels now that I think is incredibly helpful for those who have gone through any kind of relationship where there's elements of, you know, sexual shame and betrayal and addiction and all of these things, because there's oftentimes not a lot of answers per se amongst, you know, friend groups or people who've gone through it because they don't want to talk about it.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's just so important to have some of these resources and some of this knowledge out there. So that's why I really wanted to have this conversation with you today about these things and about your story a little bit.
Well, thank you. I often say I wish you know, podcasts weren't a big thing back when I was hurting the most,
right,
15 years ago. And they were around. I just wasn't aware. And there were resources. I wasn't aware. And so I wish I had all of this when I was hurting.
Right. Yeah. It just becomes a great anchor point where you can just kind of direct yourself towards the right things.
For sure.
Because it's hard to know where to start too.
Well, I mean, and for me, it was just, I felt so alone. Like you said, the shame of one being betrayed is ridiculous. And most of us women who've been betrayed, even men who've been betrayed, we protect the person who has betrayed us because we love them. And it's, so it's this weird, I love you, I hate you, and I will protect you because I am so embarrassed that I was betrayed.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many underlying messages, I think, that we start to internalize about like ourselves, the perception that others will have of us when we are betrayed. And I'm kind of speaking as if I have, but I have not experienced that. But the idea that it's interesting too, because it's like, you didn't do the betraying, like you were just existing and being part of this relationship and something happened to you. And yet you're taking on a lot of this shame and a lot of this need to kind of hide and bury yourself.
It is this crazy, especially when you're in it and you don't understand that betrayal trauma is an actual thing. You just feel crazy. And I mean, I remember I was mad. I didn't have a feelings will to describe how I was feeling other than I was mad. And I would lash out and then leave the room and be asking myself, who am I? Who have I become? What's going on? Because I did become someone that I didn't want to be around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Viktor Frankl is one of my heroes in literature. And one of my favorite quotes by him is that, unusual behavior given unusual circumstances is normal behavior. And I think that's, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to take that to an extreme where sometimes I, you know, make excuses for myself and decide like, cool, I get to be a jerk because this is unusual. But, I think it really is a testament to say like, if you're feeling crazy because you've had betrayal in your relationship and you're acting in ways that you really don't like, you don't like the way it reflects on you, or an abusive relationship or any type of high stress environment like that, you're probably going to see behavior in yourself that you don't really love.
Absolutely.
What was that looking like for you as you went through that process?
I withdrew myself from friend life. So I only had a couple friends. I didn't enjoy doing the things that I once did. So I'm a very active person. I've always been very active outdoors, and I just didn't want to take care of myself. I didn't want to go and do those things. So it sounded a little bit like depression, but I didn't feel like I had depression. I, like I said, was pretty angry. And I mean, the trust was 0%. And so, but I didn't connect that. It was just, I felt unsafe. I didn't feel trust with my partner. He would come home from work, walk in that door, and instead of being excited, oh, my partner is home, you know, let's have our night together, it was an immediate wall shot up. And it felt like I was just blocking him from me, protecting emotionally. But it was also this physical wall that felt, you know, you could feel the tension between us. And it was there for a long time. It was an elephant in the room. So sometimes we talk about it, we'd fight. And, I should say my former partner talks about his part of this story very publicly. So there's no part of me that is doing this behind his back. We did this for 4 years publicly. So he eventually owned his part of the story and stepped into recovery. And so for that long period of time when I felt shame and alone and crazy, there was a lot of gaslighting. You know, and I think a lot of it unintentionally, ironically, we had a lot of the same feelings. We both felt shame. We both felt distrust. We both felt hurt. We're both mad. And yet we're stuck in this cycle of hurting each other and not knowing that there was help. You know, he wasn't talking to people. I wasn't talking to people. And so we were just alone in this. And this elephant in the room was over here just gnawing at us for years.
Yeah. That is such a hard position because both both are really needing something that the other one feels like they can't give. It kind of like, I don't know, like you're mm-hmm. both feeling shame and you're both needing kind of this comfort or maybe this reassurance or someone to be there. And at times it's so challenging. I think especially for the betrayed, because they're in that position where it's like, I don't trust you, but the same, I want to trust you. I want to be close to you. And I don't know what to do. I'm in a stuck position. And the one who stepped out of side of the relationship might be feeling all this immense shame. And the behavior probably came from a shameful place in the first place, mm-hmm. but it's like, how can you ask your partner who you just betrayed to like come and give you a pat on the back and like comfort you? It's such a hard position. So you guys were stuck in this for quite some time.
Yes.
What started to change?
Honestly. Okay. So we did try to go to therapy after 6 years. So the first affair was emotional, which for a lot of people, they kind of write off like, not a big deal. You're so lucky. They didn't have a physical affair, but a lot for me and for many of the women I get to work with, emotional is the hard part because they're choosing often, he was choosing pornography for the physical,
right.
And then emotionally connecting to someone else every day. And so I just felt like I got left with nothing.
Yeah.
I'm right here in front of your face and you're really choosing none of me. And so we tried, just a regular family therapist who suggested we go to a sex therapist, 'cause that was the problem. That didn't help. Luckily that sex therapist, said, I think you have a problem and your wife is upset because you are betraying her trust. So there wasn't, it still didn't direct us in the exact right direction, but we started to put words with what we were feeling. Mm. And eventually I had a friend who was an acquaintance from high school post on social media that she was hosting this women's conference for betrayal trauma. And I'd never, ever heard that before. We were, I think, 14 years into our marriage. I told no one. I told a church leader a little bit of things. And I immediately sent her a message and said, what do you know about my story? Because she'd sent me this private little, like, you should come. And I was terrified. Like, what do you know about me? And she's like, I don't know anything. I just thought maybe you'd be interested. And so I did what people do to me now, which is I sent her my story. I wrote it out and was so scared. And so when I get the stories now, I'm like, I know what they're feeling, because you've never told anyone and you're willing to tell basically a stranger on the internet because that feels safe.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so she said, come to this conference. I came. I got to hear from all of these experts in addiction and betrayal, that world. Wow. And it just blew my mind. I came home excited. There's resources for us. And oh my goodness, we live in kind of the mecca of it in Utah Valley.
Totally, totally.
And he was actually in the middle of his second affair when this happened. And so he kind of listened with openness, but also like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
So probably 8 months later is when he actually called and found help for us. And we went in and he just said, I was ready to just be done with all the lying. And he was living a double life. And so we started that recovery work 15 years into our marriage.
Wow.
And so we were married 21 years. Those last few were great. And we ended up getting divorced, not for betrayal reasons, just we grew into different people.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What an endurance that long before goodness, that long before getting to that point where you're actually moving through some of those resources and healing. And so was it the next step? Was it you were finding just a therapist that was a better fit who had training around that? Or like, what did that look like?
It was finding someone who was specialized. So, the therapist we found, we went and did an intake and they specialize in betrayal trauma and addiction recovery.
Right.
And they, level your trauma and then set you up with a plan. So I went into a women's group and, just that collective energy to heal was, I hated it at first because of the shame, yeah, you know, and just the discomfort of, I have to actually say my story out loud to strangers. This is deeply uncomfortable. And yet I loved it. And yeah, so 6 weeks into that group is when I finally really embraced these women and the process and just jumped into it. You know, there was a period, a good long period, where I was mad that I had to spend my time and my resources on therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Because like, here we are struggling in our marriage and we're supposed to be going on dates and trying to fix things. And all we're doing is spending all our time in therapy. So yeah, there was a lot of anger still in those first, probably the first 6 months.
Totally. Totally. And it makes 100% sense, because you're kind of coming from the standpoint, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but it feels like it comes from the standpoint that says, listen, I didn't choose to do this. Yes. I would have spent my time elsewhere, but because of something that you did, we are stuck here. And that's, yeah, sounds like where the anger is coming
well,
from.
And you bring up a good point, because I really did go into this thinking, okay, so you go to therapy and fix whatever is wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because you did this thing, there must be, yeah, something wrong with you. When in the reality, when they said you need help too, it was like, what? Why do I need help?
No, I don't.
Leave me alone. It turns out I needed help. And I mean, this is now what I do. I'm going to therapy today at 2:00. I choose to still, the helper asks for help because I need someone that I can go to. And it's just an ongoing something I'm choosing. I'm not working on betrayal anymore.
Right.
But I am healing a lot of the inner parts of me that have always been there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such an important thing. I feel like the more you visit with, you know, a therapist or continue to seek out your own healing, the more you realize that there's opportunities for healing, because mm-hmm, I feel like that self-awareness brings up new stuff and you're like, oh, cool.
I like that you think it's cool.
I do. I love
sometimes
it.
I'm like, there's more. Oh no.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I don't know. Maybe I get like too cocky in my own self when I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like I'm chilling. I'm healed up. And then when something new happens, it's kind of exciting, because I'm like, oh yeah, there we go. And I think being a therapist has particularly stretched that, because maybe there's, you know, conversations around certain topics that, you know, mm-hmm, have a little chord with my life. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like maybe I need to go and visit a couple things. But I was curious when you were describing the idea that says like, oh, I need healing and I need to pursue this as well. I'm curious, do you meet a lot of women, or did you feel like you were in this position where, or just people who have been betrayed, men or women? I mean, we probably say women more often here because, yeah, that's how it tends to be. However, do you feel like you meet people and they go have the mindset that says like, oh, if he just figures this stuff out, if he fixes it, then I'll be healed. I'll be good. Life will be just cherry and we'll get back to doing everything fine.
For sure. I have more women now that I've gone through a divorce. It's opened up a different light, I think, to my audience, where they are seeing, I have women who are coming to me saying, my partner cheated 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing it's affected our entire relationship. And I'm ready to heal. I thought I forgave, you know, he got help, or he's, you know, been white knuckling it, or we just stopped doing it. And the truth is, betrayal, for what I've experienced in the women that I get to see, it creates space for you to heal in ways that otherwise a lot of us don't have. So it's this, I wish it on no one. It is,
yeah,
definitely the worst thing, one of the worst things in my life. However, I also wish it on everyone, because it has been the most beautiful part of my life in breaking me open and helping me heal things that I would have never chosen to step into, and to get to know me in ways that I would have never cared to know. The best women in my life, the best men in my life, I have met through recovery.
Wow. Yeah, no, I agree. It's that kind of that refining process of going through And whether it be betrayal or something else, I feel like there's incredible purpose and meaning and refining that comes from these kinds of experiences that, it's hard to wish a difficult situation mm-hmm. on somebody, but like, I hope everybody has at least one fire at some point in their life. Because that's actually how I became a therapist, was through some of that, my own experiences with just like kind of getting smacked down in life and realizing mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, I need to, oh, hold on. I've got a little puppy. He's pulling on the curtains and he almost tipped over my really expensive camera. Okay. Anyway, that's how I came to therapy. And I went to therapy for the first time. I was actually working like a corporate job. I was working at Tesla. Never thought I'd be a therapist. Went to therapy, thought it was so cool, loved it, was passionate about it, and went back to school and here I am. So
oh wow, I love that.
Way more purposeful than yelling at vendors and trying to negotiate contracts and all that stuff that I was doing before.
You know what's funny is I had a career before what I do now. I was an interior designer, won national award. Like I had success in that. I loved it, but there was not purpose in it for me. And ironically, this is not the life I chose. I mentor women after betrayal and now through divorce. And it's just been through my experience. I'm the expert of 10,000 plus more hours that I'm not a therapist, but I have all this experience, that I didn't want to share, but that's how it happened, is it just was kind of placed in my lap and I took it. Took me a minute to accept this part of my life, but here I am and it's been beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, as we've been talking, for those who are, listening and maybe they're in a situation where they're yet to disclose to anybody that this has happened. They have a spouse who has betrayed in some form or fashion. And the question is, what do I do kind of with my spouse in a way? Like, because I think a lot of the question that people wrestle with is like, should I stay? Should I go? Mm-hmm. Like those kind of decisions, those are very legitimate questions and difficult decisions. Did you find yourself wrestling with those kinds of thoughts yourself? Or do you find people in that position?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like those are the messages I get on the daily is, here's my story. Should I stay or should I go? Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't have the answers. And I wish I had something great to say, but it really is, the answers are always within. And I hate that answer, but it's true. No therapist, no parent, no religious leader can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And you'll know. I had a partner who was willing to step into the work.
Yeah.
And that isn't very common. There's usually one of two who says, hey, let's go to therapy. Hey, let's work on this. And it really, for me, it was one of us had one foot out the door. I basically had one foot out the door because I was unhappy and unsure.
Of course.
So to say, let's put 2 feet in, let's try this and see if we can heal it together. And to really do this, it went from me trying to control me, guard dog. I was almost like the mother figure in our relationship where I wanted to check his phone all the time. I didn't, I'm telling him what to do and trying to control the outcome of my pain. And all it did was push him away and kept more secrets. And so for us, when we started recovery, it was surrendering and saying, I actually can't control if he's going to do things, talk to other women, choose other things. I'm going to let go of this death grip I have on trying to control our relationship, and I'm going to stay in my own lane and I'm going to work on me. That is, I believe, the hardest part.
Yeah.
Is once you start to get help, is to surrender and trust the process, because control feels like things are helping.
Totally.
It feels like the things I'm doing are going to get to me to where I want to be, but it is the opposite. It just was. And so, surrendering, letting go, and really staying in my own lane. I do believe in the power of recovery work, especially when there's the partnership, working together towards it. Like I said, most don't have that. The more common is one of you getting help and then maybe the relationship ends, or maybe like my story, we work together, we find healing and the relationship still ends. There is no guarantee in any relationship. Yeah. And so it's the zoom out. And I often think even without the betrayal in my relationship, a lot of our issues were normal relationship issues. And we would just stamp it and say, it's because of the betrayal that we can't communicate, when in reality, we actually were never taught healthy communication. We needed to learn it anyway. So therapy to me is great for everyone because it is education. I use that education more than I actually use my college degree. So I'm a fan.
I'm curious when you started gaining this education and you started going down the path of healing and recovery, letting go of that control, I think is, from my experience in working with couples in very similar situations to you, I think that is one of the most challenging pieces for the, what we call it, the betrayed or the injured partner, however you want to say it. It's one of the most challenging pieces. But you say that, you know, I imagine someone listening to this and they say like, what? Think that he can like do whatever he wants and like kind of let go. And like, that sounds like the most terrifying and silly advice I've ever heard. But I'm curious, what does the alternative bring? Because it must be, in order to let go of that perceived safety, there must be a cost to the perceived safety. There must be some sort of destructive nature of trying to control. I'm curious, what does that look like?
Well, like I said, when I would try to control, I felt icky, even though I felt like I didn't like checking his phone. I don't like snooping, or I would lay in bed and be, you know, what is he doing? He's up watching TV, or he's, you know, and it was this constant, like a blender in my chest, just spinning. And, you know, I take off the lid and it's just flying everywhere. So for me, surrendering and letting go of that control was like, put the lid on it and we can make a smoothie now, because with all of that chaos, actually the divorce, it kind of bubbled everything up again that I'd already worked on. But it was learning to trust myself again. And for me, surrender is believing 100% wholeheartedly that I got me, that I love me, and that I trust me. Because if he's choosing to go and do these things, I don't want to be with someone who's not choosing me.
Yeah.
I got me. Wow. I love me. I choose me. But in the beginnings, that's really hard to understand.
Really hard.
Because I just want someone to choose me. I just want. And so I'm going to just pull you and just like, I'm going to hold you so tight so that you choose me. And in the reality, why would I want someone who I'm forcing into a relationship with me? Mm. And so, yeah, I had to work through all that again when I got divorced, because it was, there's this loss of, I thought I, your intuition feels broken. And so that knowing, I always knew that there was something off and I would ask, you know, I knew when he was acting out with pornography secretly, I knew when he was with other women, because you can feel it, your vibration changes, your energy shifts. But when I didn't have any skills, so when I would ask, I would get denial. I would get, you're crazy. I, you know, and it would be thrown back in my face and I would be so confused. Like, I'm trusting myself. Something feels off. Okay. I guess I'm crazy. And so when the truth came out, I felt so broken. Like I should have known. And this is every woman I get to work with. I don't know if this is your experience, but we all feel broken that we didn't know. If you really look in hindsight, 2020, we know. And a woman's intuition is like sky high. So that to me is one of the most beautiful healing parts of recovery, is to find that knowing again, that and realize it never was broken. We just weren't getting the right answers to help us see that it was right. And so learning to trust me now is hilarious because I am dating now. And I sometimes have to lay down on my bed and like, where are my thoughts coming from? Are they coming from my head? Are they coming from my heart? Are they coming from my gut? And then I can get out of that spin. Like I'm either in my old stuff or, you know, I have to sort through that and I have to feel yeah. it because you can't always just go and speak it and get the right answers. I have to trust my knowing.
I think I don't know. It feels like a beautiful principle that I'm hearing. It says that, you know, somebody could listen to this or watch this and think, wow, like she's made it. She's gone through all of this. And they might be sitting there also thinking, you know, can I get to a place where, you know, everything is great again or perfect again, I guess. And my thought is like, I think it's actually kind of insightful and beautiful to say like, yeah, like you are in very far down this healing journey in comparison to those who are maybe in the midst of it right now. And I think that I'm hearing a message that says, even today, old things kind of come up, but with a big but that says, it's okay.
Yeah. It's so different now. So I get asked, you know, do you still have triggers every day? No, like triggers are yeah. so far less because I've done so much trauma work to reprocess. Yeah. However, I can still have a trigger,
yeah.
but it's the ability to, you know, it used to hit me like a grenade and it would spin me out maybe for days where right. I would shut down and go into avoidance. And now it's this pinprick. Where I can process through it on my own. I can soothe myself. I can share how I'm feeling. It doesn't always get received in the best way, right? Because it's still hard to hear that someone has triggered this pain inside of me.
Right.
But it's the ability to say, I have tools now and I got me.
Yeah.
So I continue to reprocess as things bubble up because I am in a new relationship and that it pushes you.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, there is healing in this new relationship that I wouldn't have had staying in the old one, just because it's new things and it's beautiful to me. Just the other night, something so silly. I told my boyfriend, you seem so far away. He's hugging me. I'm not far away. I'm not far away. And I looked and I said, oh, I must be crazy. It feels like you're far away from me. Like normally you're a little, like, I feel like we hug closer. And 30 seconds later, he hugs me closer. And he said, you're not crazy. I normally hug you like this. And I started bawling. Wow. And I said, I am so sorry. And he just held me while I sobbed. And I said, I've actually never had a man tell me I'm not crazy.
Wow.
I've only had women tell me that. And I know you don't mean it like anything to do with what I'm feeling, but that just hit me hard. And it was beautiful. Those are healing moments that I am experiencing now. And the betrayal was so long ago.
Yeah.
And so I do believe in continued healing and allowing it to come. Those moments of grief are gifts for me to say, oh, like I just felt another layer of love for myself and for my heart.
I love that because you can sit in a place of real brokenness and with kind of this hopeless feeling that says like, it's never going to end. Like this is always going to be here and it's always going to come back. But I wonder if like, I'm hearing a change in tone around that message that says like, hey, this isn't going to end. And it's a smiling tone where it says like, you know, maybe parts of this aren't going to end. Pieces will for sure. And there's hopefulness there, but the gifts of healing and the things you learn and how it changes your character, like that's probably never going to end as long as you're in a constant pursuit of healing, which is what I'm hearing you say. Am I getting it right?
Oh yes. And it's funny because when I was in my marriage, that former relationship, I felt like, oh, how is he ever going to accept and love me knowing that I'm going to have these triggers? Like it's always going to be a part of our story. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't rule every day and it's not our life, but it's always a part of this.
Yeah.
And then to start dating and outside of that marriage was like, oh, no one is going to want me. Like I have so much baggage. And it got to the point where my therapist, who does accelerated resolution therapy with me, said, no, you've got a backpack. Like, your baggage has been unpacked. You've got it, but you can carry this backpack. And it's all about how you're carrying what you've got. We all have baggage. And so for me to have people in my life who want to be with me and who accept that this is part of my story is beautiful. It does take a person who's done their own work to see the beauty in healing, even in those hard moments.
Yeah. And I think there's a richness to a relationship and an experience with a person when they allow you to kind of see what's behind the scenes, right? Like, I was with my wife yesterday, and we were just eating at some place. And I had had quite a few messages that day about things that people were struggling with. And there was this group of people out, and I was like, you know, and I told her, I was like, I bet every single one of those people over there, like, they're sitting here laughing, having a good time. They've probably had some sort of shattering heartbreak in their life. And if not yet, they will. And I don't know, when we get to see and experience that from another person, I think the only thing I can describe is you just start to love them. Like, you love them so deeply. And I love what you say, like, those who have done their own healing work, those who are in tune with that, those are the kind of people that not only will accept us just generally, like, oh, is anybody going to be able to take me? Like, I have so much baggage. They're going to love you for it.
Yeah. It is this unusual, like, old me would be shocked at how I'm choosing to love today.
Yeah.
And he's got baggage. I've got baggage, and it's different baggage, but to love each other through it, it is beautiful and it is different. And to me, it's adult dating. Like, I was a child when I got married and I did not understand.
Oh yeah.
What we were, you know, that we were bringing in whole different beliefs and trying to mix them together. I was just thinking, we're the same. We grew up the same. We grew up in the same religion and area. Yeah. We're the same. We definitely see the world different. All of us do.
Yeah. I'm curious, when two people are coming to a relationship and they do have baggage, sometimes that can become explosive and difficult or terrible. And other times it can be healing and kind of character building and all these cool things we're talking about. What do you feel like is the difference? Because you've probably seen in all your work with all these different relationships around you, you've probably seen both. What do you feel like are some of the key principles that make the difference?
Well, I think you mentioned it earlier. It's that self-awareness and the willingness to be curious of, one, why am I triggered? I think most of us feel triggered in some way. Like, I love hearing women check in and say, I scream. Oh, this girl yesterday said, I was shucking corn and I opened the corn and it was gross and I had to throw it away. I just started bawling. And she said, and then I realized it's not about the corn, you know, I'm shucking the corn going, no, I'm mad over 2 days ago, my husband, you know, and that is curiosity. That is us growing up and saying, I'm aware that the way I am showing up isn't because necessarily of this person. It is the way I view the world and my experiences, that this is painful. And maybe it's not painful for this person, but for me, it's hitting a core wound or a belief. Yeah. And so for me, it's that it's finding a partner, or you're maybe already with a partner who's just willing to be curious. 2019, I chose a word. My word was curiosity. And that blew my world up, was just saying, I'm going to be curious about everything.
Yeah.
And it was so much self-discovery for me to just be curious.
It's so, so important. I feel like, you know, when I'm in therapy or like I'm making my little videos for Instagram and TikTok and stuff, I did a video on this actually that was like, listen, you can forget like all the like communication skills and all like these little scripts or things that you like. And if you just remember to be curious, and I think I added gentle, because most of the time, beautiful healing communication stuff that creates closeness, it comes from a place of curiosity and just like gentleness. Like, you're taking,
I like that.
This is your person, man. Like, I don't know.
And we do, through betrayal, we turn each other into the enemy.
Oh, completely.
And I did this and he did this. And so being able to zoom out and just say, oh, wait, I actually love you.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we should approach this differently. It is a very different experience.
Yeah. It's hard to hug and kill somebody at the same time.
I like that. Yeah.
I feel like that's what we do. But it's like, you're the enemy, but at the same time, we're going to couples therapy because we love each other. And it's funny how often I try to remind people of that. Like in therapy, I'm like, wait, hold on. Wait, why are we even here? Like, what are we doing here?
It's true.
It's hard. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought I was not a proponent for therapy in my younger years. I was like, oh, therapy's for people who are one broken, you know, stereotypes, or you're going to get divorced. That's why you go to therapy. And unfortunately, a lot of us do wait until the wheels are falling off before we step into healing. And instead of looking at it like, oh, you know what? I need some skills. I need to learn how to better communicate with my partner or my children or at work or whatever. So that itself just shifted things to be able to look and say, you know what? I'm going to step into this before things are terrible. I'm ready to start going to couples therapy with the guy I'm dating.
Yeah.
We're not engaged. We're not married, but guess what? Like we could still have this outside person who can be a middleman and say, hey, here's some eyes to see this. Why not? If we have this same like little thing happening repetitively, I think that requires someone else to help us see each other.
Yeah. I think particularly in, you know, you say adult dating and I just kind of graduated that world. In Utah, if you get married like above the age of 26, you're old. I got married at 30 and
so old.
But it's funny because the older you get, I would notice like the dating pool came with a lot more history. You know, there was divorced people that I would be dating or you know, people with children as potential dating partners or whatever as you get older. And I think it's so vital to jump into therapy. And it feels scary. It's like, oh wow, if I tell my partner I want to go to couples therapy, then like either A, they're going to think that I want to get married right now.
I know.
Or B, like they think I'm mad or we have problems or all of this. It's like, no, I really like you and I actually just kind of want to keep you around.
That's
is how I see it.
That's exactly. And it is fighting for love in saying, hey, no, we're not fighting. We're saying, I love you. And I'm choosing to step into this kind of uncomfortable thing because I want you.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love that. I love the self-awareness piece. Like, I think about in, you know, my own relationship, it's funny. I came into this with a lot of history of like going to therapy and learning about therapy and all this stuff. And my wife just like, never had any experience around that. And it's so fun because now like I watch her and it's so awesome. Like I love it where there's something very, very small. It's kind of like rubbing her the wrong way. And she's kind of like, she'll kind of go quiet. And I used to be like, oh no, like she's kind of shutting down. And now I realize I'm like, oh, she's just sorting it all out. She's just going to like little curious town and figuring it out for herself. And it's so
curious
beautiful.
Town. I like that.
Yeah. She'll just go there. And I'm like, I just wait. I'm like, got anything for me? So I think that the reason I was feeling this way is because it's just like this beautiful explanation. And it's so, so cool because I think what you're saying is like, when we get a step into that curiosity, we can slow down so much disconnection. We can slow down so much self-shaming and all the things that come from just kind of reacting to our emotional landscape instead of just being curious about it and learning from it.
Well, and that goes for you too. You're being curious with your partner. You know, so you feel an energy shift.
Totally.
You see her energy shift, her action shift, and you're curious rather than taking it personal.
Totally.
Assuming and jumping into a reaction. So it's both of you being curious. Yeah. And I love that.
It's true. It's true. Curiosity. And then, I think that the piece I just love is the gentle piece too. It's like, there's all, it's funny. People talk about gentle parenting. I'm like, what about gentle partnering?
Yes. Like, can you make that a thing?
I want to. I don't. Maybe I'll try it. We'll see.
It's a thing. Trevor made it.
Yeah, you got to back me up on it, and then I'll make it a thing. Okay, great. Oh man. Well, I'm so grateful that we've had this chance to chat. I feel like I could continue to talk about this all day, and maybe we'll have to have another conversation in the near future, because I think it's such an important topic and it's so helpful. Especially when people don't, like we said in the beginning, don't know where to go when they're in this place of hurting. And I understand that you're also doing a betrayal retreat.
Yes. So I have been asked for years to do this, and I spoke at them. I went to them. I wanted something different. And so it is very different. It is jam-packed with all of the major things that impacted my recovery.
Wow.
And so it's women are getting to come and flying in to experience what beautiful pieces I have been, like the pieces that just shifted me in big ways.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing accelerated resolution therapy, which is trauma reprocessing. Awesome. I love it, because talk therapy is great, but then it's like, now what do I do with all this? Right. And we're doing this beautiful healing massage. We're doing a healing photo shoot for each girl. We have a breath work class. We have sound baths. We have a dance party with your inner child. Like it's going to be so much fun. We're hiking. We're doing walking meditation. It's a lot. We're doing a lot, but
yeah.
I'm just excited beyond anything, because I know what it feels like to feel alone in healing, and that collective energy to come together and to say, I'm doing this for me, despite, you know, some of these women are divorced or trying to work on their marriage. It doesn't matter where you're at in your circumstance. It's that you're choosing you. You're choosing to step into your power and take your voice back and to say, I got me. And I'm still this beautiful person. I'm a little bit different.
Wow. Wow. That sounds great. I mean, man, I want to come. That sounds really fun.
Yes, I know. I want to go. And then I'm like, wait, it's mine. I will be there.
I will be there. I get to go. That's fantastic. How can people learn more about you and about your retreat? Where should they go?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just this is ashlyn.com. And that's my Instagram handle as well. And my podcast as well. It's just, this is Ashlyn. And I host women's betrayal groups. They're all online, and also divorce women's groups. So it doesn't, you know, if you've healed the betrayal part, if that was your part and you're just working through divorce, it's also helpful to have that collective energy to heal as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I can attest to group therapy. It is one of the most phenomenal things in the world, especially when there's like a specific, unique challenge that all of you in the room are facing at the same time. Wow. It's so, so powerful to like get in there and go, what? I think that's the same thing.
Yes. It's that. It's the validation and getting answers to questions you didn't even know you had.
Yeah. Yeah. I see. It's funny. I've had individuals in individual therapy who have kind of been stuck, and they're just like, you know, maybe not wanting to accept certain things or like lean into certain truths. The minute they get into group therapy and realize that other people have the same challenges, it's like, okay, acceptance going up, like, okay, I'll accept my circumstances because it's yours too. And there's just a lot of catalyst for change. So I encourage those who are listening to check that out, because it's an important way to find some healing.
Yeah. Thank you. Love it.
Ashlyn, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure to have this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Art of Healing. And remember, if you'd like to learn more about me or my therapy services, please visit my Linktree. Also, if you'd like to sign up on the pre-course registry for the Connected Couples course, please visit that Linktree as well. And remember, this show is not a substitute for therapy, nor is it therapy. Thanks, and have a wonderful day.